I'm sure I'll hear about it. Acts chapter 20. Now, we are going to get into some interesting things here. We're going to begin Paul's sermon. Paul only preached three sermons that are recorded in the Bible. I mean, he preached a ton of them probably, but three sermons that are recorded in the Bible for us to go through. This is, I believe, the second of Paul's sermons. I think, what was it, about maybe 3 or 4 months ago, we might have went through one of his other ones. And it took us, what, some weeks to get through. This one will too. Because there's a lot in this one sermon that Paul preaches. The first part of the sermon is going to be about lessons for leaders. And it's going to deal with sufferings in the ministry. Because the first thing that Paul does when he gathers these church leaders together, these elders and church leaders, the bishops or whatever, it says here elders that he gathered together and different men, he gathers them together because he's going to tell them that he's not going to see them again and that he's leaving, but he wants them to understand some things. He wants them to know some things because he spent years in Ephesus. He spent years around there planting churches and doing the work of the ministry. So he wants to teach them some things from a leadership standpoint for them to understand about himself, about his ministry, and how that applies to them, and how they shouldn't be moved by some things that happened to them. I think one of the greatest things that I was not prepared for as a pastor was the type of persecution and the type of afflictions and the type of challenges that I would face as a pastor. I mean, I understood, you know, for the most part that there were enemies, that the lost hated the gospel and those things. I had no idea and did not understand the other things that would befall me along the way. And I should have read the scriptures and saw that and applied that. I did read them, but it never sunk in, and it never usually does until you need it. And then afterwards, it's like, well, God told me these things and warned in the scriptures about them, right? But a lot of times you can't see those things until you suffer. There are so many things that the Lord showed me in the last 4 or 5 years through suffering. I think, truthfully, I believe that suffering is a gift from God. It is a gift from God. I can say that now on this side, that it is a gift from God to suffer the things that I have suffered in the ministry and for the ministry's sake, and other pastors, and Paul's going to say the same thing. It's a gift because suffering teaches us. It causes us to slow down. It causes us to look around. It causes us to walk circumspectly and to be careful and cautious and not be so foolhardy. When you're young, you're very foolhardy, right? You hurt your back, you hurt your neck, you run around, you slip, you fall, you're careless with how you do things, and then eventually you get hurt. And then when you get hurt, you start to think, I can't do that. Now I got to be cautious. Now I can't do that. Well, spiritually and emotionally is the same way. When you get hurt, and especially spiritually, you start to understand, wait a minute now, you're going to think about some things before you run into things so quickly. And that's what Paul is trying to teach them. Paul is trying to teach them some things about suffering. And we're going to get into that here, and we're going to read verse 17 through 24, and then we'll get into it. Acts 20, verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying, bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel, the grace of God. I like this, what Paul says, what he means by that. But none of these things move me. He's not saying I'm stoic, so nothing phases me. I don't have any emotions. I don't have any cares. No, he says none of these things move me from my mission. He rejoiced that he could say that all of these things that have befell me along the way, all of these things, none of these things move me from what God has called me to do. Hallelujah! I can say that and rejoice to you tonight that none of these things have moved me from off of the faithfulness to God that He has called me to. Right? None of these things. And that's good. You ought to. A sure sign of that ministry is God breathing life into that preacher and breathing life when everything else is tough and hard and dark and everything else. But God continues him on in the faith and continues to push him forward. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you. We praise your name. We pray, Lord, that if there be one here not saved, that they'd come to Christ today, who is no life eternal. And Lord, we thank you that we do know life eternal, that we have Jesus Christ, and we have the evidence of the Holy Ghost of God working in us, Lord, those that are saved by the grace of God. Lord, help us, strengthen our hearts, help us to understand the great lesson that you have for us here. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The Holy Ghost saw fit to record three sermons that Paul preached, right? In this one, Paul is giving some, in the first part of this, he's giving some ministerial direction as an apostle, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, to pastors and leaders. You know, we see elders mentioned here. Now, I don't believe that every elder is a ruling elder or every elder is a pastor or a bishop. I believe that many times in the Scriptures that means elder believer. And out of those believers, those that are mature in the faith, those, if you were to choose a pastor, if I died tomorrow and you were to choose a pastor, you would want to choose one out of those that are faithful elders. Those that are faithful men, those that have been around, and those that have walked with God, that have a record and a testimony of living for Christ. Those are the ones that's where you would want to choose from. That's what the Scriptures teach us, I believe. You know, anyway, but we won't get into that because we're not really talking about that. I've covered that before in times past. I think I did that in an afternoon or a couple afternoons. We talked about that once, but Paul gathers these elders and these church leaders together and he instructs them. He's teaching them. He's explaining some things to them. You know, so the first thing I want to bring to you here tonight is he speaks of the manner he had been with them. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I've been with you at all seasons. Now, this is an interesting point. Paul's tours total would be about 25 years. He would spend away from Judah. He would be on the road, traveling, working for the Lord. All in all, he traveled 5,580 miles by land, facing all kinds of hardship and danger, 6,770 miles by sea in little cockle shell boats at the mercy of the wind, the sun, and the storms, 12,350 miles he evangelized an area of 1,500 square miles in less than 16 years. That is moving. Right? That's moving. He says here something important to note. He says that he was with, after what manner he's with them, been with you at all seasons. I think that's important. If you and I would be servants of the Lord, we have to learn to serve God in all seasons. In every season of your life, you have to be faithful to God. Paul says later, he says, preach the word, he warns Timothy. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. My pastor that I was saved under called his church All Seasons Baptist Church. That was a fitting name, wasn't it? In all seasons, you must serve God. Right? Not only for a pastor is it important, not only when the sun is shining, not only when things are going great, not only when things are easy, not only when things are simple, but when things are difficult, when things are dark, when things don't go your way, when you have trials and tribulation and hardship and pain and suffering and depressions and discouragement, and you have enemy, you have fears within and without, you are surrounded sometimes. In all seasons, when the sun is shining, when the bills are paid, when the family is going great, when the church members are excited, or when everybody's mad, when nobody likes what you have to say, when the money's not coming in, and you got to trust God, and you got to serve God, and you got to continue on. Let me tell you something. Don't you dare live your life as a spoiled Christian brat and think that it's okay that you're only going to serve God when God sends good your way, but you're not going to serve God when He sends evil your way. Shame on you! If you think that, if you think that you're going to back off and you're going to be derelict in your duty because you don't feel good or you don't feel right or you're going through darkness or depressions or discouragements or trials or tribulations and you're just going to back off and you're going to give up and you're not going to work hard for God because you're going through that. Shame on you. You ought not do that. So much the more you ought to press forward. So much the more you ought to serve the Lord. You ought to serve the Lord in winter seasons of His ministry, when darkness lasts much longer, when storm clouds and thick black darkness of a long winter and a cruel and hard winter come over you. You ought to serve God. You ought to continue to be faithful when God doesn't give you what you want. When God says no, and He doesn't give you what you want. When God doesn't speak to you, when God withholds His comfortable presence from you, you ought to serve God in the dark. That's what Paul is talking about. In all seasons, being faithful to God. Right? When there's prosperity or when there's disparity, doesn't matter that you're faithful to God. You continue on. Paul knew he must be obedient. He dare not leave his post of faithfulness. He dare not walk away. He dare not give up and turn his back on his sacred calling, but be obedient and continue on and serve God in the dust and the darkness in all seasons, in summer and fall, in winter's dark and cold night. You know what? The reason for that is so important. The reason for that the pastor has to do that is to be an example unto the flock. You have to see that example. You have to see a pastor serve God through the greatest trials of his life. You have to build your faith. You have to see that. God uses that. He uses that. He uses the darkness that a pastor goes through, and we'll talk about that more at the end. He uses that to teach you, and that's what Paul was saying. The suffering that I went through was to be an example. You know what manner I came in unto you. You know that I was with you in all seasons. You know that I didn't quit and give up when things were hard. I didn't stop. I didn't quit serving God. You have to see that.
Amen.
You have to see that. When that pastor has full assurance of faith or he doesn't. I can tell you, I've been through both, friend. And I've served God through both of them. I've served God when I couldn't hear from God. I served God when it was dark, when I couldn't see a thing, when I thought I was going insane and losing my mind. I served God and I stayed faithful to God. That's nothing in me but Christ. That's it. I'm not bragging about it. I'm just telling you, just like the Apostle Paul is telling you here, the same exact thing. He said, in all seasons I serve God. Let it not be that my life is an excuse for you not to be faithful to God. But let it be that my life is an example for you to serve on, to soldier on, to keep going in the faith, to not back off, to not give up when it's hard. But to continue to press forward. That's why God sends pastors through very dark things sometimes. There isn't any ministry that I've ever heard of a pastor that was ever used of God that didn't have to go through a dark time, a hard time, a challenging time. If he's called by God, he's going to suffer. It's just the calling of God. It's the way it is. It's attached to it. To endure hardness as a good soldier, to fight on, to press on, to move on, to keep going, no matter what. I can tell you, man, I look back 5 years ago right now. If you look at the date right now, 5 years ago from right now, my brains were not doing very good at all. My heart wasn't doing very good. I was in a mess. I was in a bad place, a really bad place. And for 4 years, it felt like my brain was stuck in one mode for 4 years. But you know what? It's good that I was afflicted. It's good that I was afflicted. Say, how could that be good? Because I can see the fruit of it. I can see the fruit of it. I know that God used it in my life. I know that He's used it in your life. And I know that He'll continue to use it, and it was good. I needed it. Right? The second point Paul makes is he said he served with humility. Paul's aim and his goal was to serve the Lord, and it was not to make himself a name for himself and not to be famous, but to serve the Lord. He said in verse 19, he said, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. He served with that humility. In contrast, many church leaders today have been proud and have set themselves up as kings over kingdoms, like the Pope, like other leaders, for example, in like a palace. Many church leaders have built ecclesiastical empires, right? They have songs sung to them and all kinds of crazy things, right? Private jets. That's pride, and pride comes from a fallen heart. It comes from every preacher has to guard against it. And that's why God puts us through suffering. That's why God puts us through affliction. And the reason He does that is to keep that man humble so He could use him. I thank God for it. I really do. I'm telling you, I've watched men blow out of the ministry. Men that I started with years ago. Years ago, men that I started with, and man, they had better education than me. They had more money than me. They had more opportunity, and people like them a lot more than they do me, and all those other things. But what God said is, I'm not going to let you go that way, because I prayed, God, don't let me end up like that. So He said, okay, I won't, but I'll put my rod on you, and I'll correct you. And I prayed this before. I said, Lord, I would rather have affliction than sin. If you need to whoop me all the way to heaven, then whoop me all the way to heaven. Because I don't want to live like hell. I don't want to give in to sin. I'd rather have affliction than sin. I don't want sin. I don't want it in my life. I don't want it to dwell in my heart. I don't want it to afflict my family. I don't want it to hurt everything that you've had me do. I don't want to fall to that, Lord. I don't want to see that. I don't want my family to be ruined. I don't want my church to be ruined, my testimony to be ruined, and your name to be ruined by me. I don't want the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme because of me. So if you got to afflict me all the way to heaven, God, just do it. I'll take it. You'll give me the strength. He'll give me the strength to forbear it. Amen. Paul served with humility, not like a king and not to be exalted, but to be respected. And he respected others. He didn't ignore people who were not educated as him, or the meanest or smallest of body, that he counted them important to him. He didn't despise God's people, but he loved them. He left himself open to them. It's very difficult to leave yourself open to people, because when you leave yourself open, people will punch you. I'm just being honest with you. I'm not being cynical. I'm just telling you the truth. If you leave yourself open as a pastor to people, you're going to get hurt.
Right.
You have a fifth rib for a reason, and in the ministry, it's to get stabbed in it. That's just the way it is. You say, but listen, let me, when I say things like that, I want you to understand, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. All the betrayal and everything that I've been through, Christ is worth it all. I would do it again and again and again and again and again. Barring my mistakes that I've made along the way, everything else that God has allowed to befall me and God has allowed to happen, it's went to the furtherance of the gospel. And I rejoice in that. And I have to learn to rejoice in that. And I have to remember that. It's learned behavior. It's something that you learn to do, right? But Paul, he served that way. He didn't despise God's people. Paul would be the man that would clean a bathroom if he had to, or work for a living if he needed. He wouldn't be begging from God's people. He'd be working. He gave instructions on giving, but it was not to benefit himself, but other pastors that would come along the way. Paul exalted Christ and not himself. He was humble and suffered himself rather to be defrauded. There are times that pastors have to just bite their lip and take the reproach that is thrown at them by the very people they've pastored. I can tell you many times I've had people say the most awful things to me. Accuse me of the most awful things you can ever imagine. I don't know if you can imagine what it's like to have somebody that calls you up on the phone, or builds a relationship up, a spiritual relationship like that, calls you up on the phone. They are in the worst place of their entire life. They have lost their mind. Somebody finds them out in a snowbank somewhere. My number is on their phone. They call me That person calls me and said, do you know this person? I was like, yeah, I know her. I know her. This person, I found them out in the middle of here. And this is their situation. And this is what they're going through. And they got nobody and they got nothing. So what do? Well, actually, we fly them here, right? Give them a place to stay. Help them out. And what do they go and do? Lie, cause trouble, manipulate, hurt people, take advantage of people, right? And then make the most awful and wicked and vile accusations against me that a person could ever make against me.
Right.
Yeah. Well, how'd you get them back? I didn't. I drove them up to their, with my wife, I drove them up to their parents' house and I got them out. Well, did you tell everybody how bad they were? No. I didn't even defend myself. That's something. Huh. Right? That's walking in humility. You know why? Because the flesh would want to retaliate against that, right? Like you would want to, wouldn't you? If someone made the most awful, by the way, tried to destroy your marriage, tried to destroy your church, tried to destroy your church members, tried to do all those things, right? But did you retaliate against them? No. Why? Because they're in a lot more trouble than anything I could do with them, right? They're in more trouble than anything I could ever do. And guess what? I'm still here.
Amen.
And guess what? I'm still doing what God called me to do. And after I had my nervous breakdown over it all and my heart was broken in two over it all and all those other things, God showed me, I'm still with you. And your greatest fears that you ever had in your life, I'm still with you. I never left you. I kept you. None of them could touch you. None of them could do anything to you. Amen. That's the truth. Some of you will get that, some of you won't, but that's okay. Save it for later. You might need it. The ones they labored for, the souls of the ones they watched over and take a humble approach to, and they're stabbed by it. They're hurt by it. But you can never be used of God unless you've been betrayed like that. Not really. Not in its entirety. You have to go through that. Paul understood that. I remember weeping tears over it, that people that I had helped that were like that. And you know something? Here's what I bring that up to you, and it's not sour grapes. I'm not bitter at all about it. I'm not. I've been made free. God took care of me through it all. God preserved me through it all. But the one thing, the truth of it, that no man will ever take that away from me.
Right.
Like, you
Amen.
Can't ever take that away from me.
Amen.
And that's what Paul was saying. He gloried in his infirmities, that the power of Christ would dwell upon. I mean, Satan did all those things, used all those people to do all those things, but they're gone, and I'm still here. I'm still doing what God called me to do, and I rejoice in that. You got to understand, it ain't about me. It's what God called me to do. He said, I'm going to use you, and when I'm done with you, I'll take you home. But not a one of them will do it. Just like people threaten me, well, I'm going to come and hurt you. I'm going to find you. You don't know what I can do to you. Here's my address. You don't know what my God can do to you.
Amen.
I ain't going to do nothing to you. God will take care of you. I said God will make you choke on your own spit.
That's right. Yep.
That's the God I serve. God I serve kills people.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, you might not like that. I don't care if you like it. It's true.
Amen.
The God I serve kills people.
Right.
You mess with his prophets, you mess with his preachers, you try to shut them up, God will take your mind. You know where that one person ended up? Crazy in a loony bin on a 72-hour psych ward. That's where she ended up. Why is that? Because she messed with God and his church.
Amen.
That's how that works. I know what I'm talking about. Paul said it, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. See, you learn humility in the ministry. And by the way, there's been times that I've been proud and God had to abase my pride to teach me as a father does a son. You learn not to be flattered by people. And you learn to crave the presence and power of God and count all else but dung. If God calls somebody to the ministry here, He'll show you how weak you actually are. And that He never called you because you were strong. He'll teach you humility of mind and heart. In theology, humility means it consists in lowliness of mind, a deep sense of one's own unworthiness in the sight of God. Self-abasement. The submission to the divine will. It's submitting and surrendering to God. You know when you'll get through your trial quicker? You know when the clouds will begin to part and the sun will shine again? When you just surrender to God's will, that if He's going to keep you like that for the rest of your life, then He's worth it. And you just go on serving God. Just like He told Daniel, go thy way. Go thy way. That's right. That's what God told me, the same thing, man. All these enemies, all this stuff happened, pastors telling me to quit, all these other things. And He said, nope, go thy way. Well, no, I'm going to rebuke these guys and I'm going to do this. Nope, go thy way. Walk away. Be done with it. Paul said next, number three, said he did it with many tears. Pastors that cannot weep will be hard men. They will be feelingless men that cannot help others. If you cannot weep with those that weep, if you're not tender-hearted and your heart doesn't break for those that are hurting or caught up in sin sway, then you have to examine yourself whether you're truly called to care for sheep. You must be able to look on others and you must be able to weep and see their plight. By the way, I weep a lot easier now than I did many years ago. Why? Suffering. Yeah. It's taught me. It's taught me to weep. God's used it. A heart for God's people. It's much more now than it was then because of the suffering in the service of Jesus. Tears are much part of this life. They are. People are going to weep. Being sons of Adam, still in the flesh, we're appointed to sorrow. And a shepherd has to be able to sit with people and he has to be able to weep. If he cannot relate to their suffering that they're going through, their discouragements, their depressions, their anxieties, their pains and their sufferings, if he cannot relate to them, then he will not be able to help them. See, he has to be like Christ, who is in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Who is in all points tempted like as we are. He was touched with the feeling of our infirmity. So what does God do to His men that He calls? He touches them. He touches them. Like He did Jacob's thigh. He touches the hollow of His thigh. He does it. He touches them. Why? So they'll be sensitive. They'll be tender. They'll be tender-hearted. Right? A shepherd has to be able to weep. By the way, if you're called of God, don't worry, you'll weep. Your heart will break. Sorrow will be a sanctifying agent used of the Holy Ghost to tenderize you. Let me tell you something. You who are not very tender-hearted, you that can be cold to people, you that can turn a cold shoulder when you see somebody weeping, you that aren't broken by that or are nasty with people or can't be that way, can't be tender-hearted with somebody when they're going through heartache or pain or trials or tribulations or things like that, you'll learn to do that as a Christian. God will break you. God will teach you compassion. He'll teach you to love people. As a Christian, you will not leave this life without God teaching you compassion. If you are His and you have His Spirit, I promise you, according to the Scriptures, you will learn to love. You will. Tim, I don't know what you're talking about. I know you don't, but you're going to find out. Because God will put a series of trials and tribulations your way to teach you how to love people. You will love people. You'll be... Help is on the way. What was that about? They're coming to get me. I'm going to take this thing off. Weird timing right there. Like she's being taken out and changed. We'll see you guys. Yeah, that was kind of weird. I don't know what that was exactly. What's that? We're here to help. All I know is she'll drop a little democracy on you. Anyway, I can honestly tell you, though, 5 years ago, the devil did his best to make me hard, to make me cynical, to dry up any tears and make me lose compassion for others and become extremely impatient with people and not love them. Because when you get hurt enough, when things happen, when you have a continuation of that, you start hardening. Right? But then God said, no, I'm not going to let that happen to you. He didn't. Because I'm telling you, I started to lose my compassion. I started to become very hard. And God said, nope, that's not going to happen. I'm not going to let that happen. And He didn't. Praise the Lord, He didn't. Right? But God, with His great love wherewith He loved us, He would not permit it. He would not allow that to happen. And if you're here as a child of God and you lack compassion, God will teach you. He'll teach you to love. He'll teach you to be tender. Paul suffered many things, and it taught him to weep tears. When he went there, it was a sad thing for him to watch the Jews try to kill him, people that he labored for and he loved, and also his Alexander the coppersmith that did him much evil, his Demases that forsook him, having loved this present world, all of those other things. He fought all those things. He had all these, his Simon the sorcerers, right? Or that was Peter. Simon the sorcerers and all those other things. They had to suffer those things and go through those things. Paul, betrayed by the very people that he served, right? That were angry with him and that turned their back on him. And all of Asia turned against him, right? Why? Because Alexander this coppersmith did a video on YouTube. Oh, wait, no, that's not what happened. That was me. Right? He wrote letters to everybody and said, Paul's a fake and Paul did this and Paul, sound familiar? Yeah, it's not new, is it? And Paul did all these other things and all of Asia turned again. No man stood with him. He said, everybody said, oh, we don't want to do with Paul. Why? Was it something Paul did? Yeah, he preached the gospel. That's why. Later on, you're going to see next week that he said, I preach repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why they tried to kill him, right? That's what made him mad. Because when people don't want to get right with God, they'll hate your guts. I know, I was like that. I didn't like preachers that preached to me when I was lost. I couldn't stand them. Amen. Right? I couldn't stand them. Then I got saved by the grace of God, and I loved them. I thank God for them. Paul says next that he served in temptations which befell him. If you serve the Lord, it'll be through much tribulation or temptations that will befall you. No Christian is exempt from suffering, and no pastor ever will be either. He has to be afflicted. I was talking to Brother Alexander, Brother Ted, today, and his church down that they planted at Cozadale Baptist Church sent him out to plant that church out there in Homestead, Florida. And I was talking to him today. We had a good conversation on the phone, and he told me that that he was just telling me about the things that he's experienced in the first year there. And I could just, yep, I know, yep, just shaking my head. Yeah. And but he was talking about those things, and he reminded me, he said, of William Carey. He said, I studied William Carey's life and how he went out. And he said, then I got betrayed by a man. He said, I had a man, and I got betrayed by that man. And that man wanted him to come and start a church, begged for it to happen. Brother Ted does it, and then this man jumps ship, takes off, and leaves, and causes trouble, and you know the story. You've lived it here. And I thought about the first year of our ministry, the same thing happened. We went to start the church, and we actually organized the church. Everybody left. Everybody left except me and Mom and Dad and Hannah, and I think Lucius was there, and I don't know if Mandy was there yet. I don't think she was, not yet. But that was it. Everybody left. Like the most faithful couples that were supposed to be there said, man, we really want a church there, and we really want it. And all of a sudden, they all left. And I was like, we're starting in like a week, and everybody's gone. And I remember telling Pastor Clear, I'm like, everybody's gone. They all left. All of them. And Brother Alexander said the same thing happened to him. All these people said they wanted to do that, and boom, they were gone. People were gone. He said he ended up being a Diotrephes, and the guy was just, it was just a mess. He said it was really bad. And But the Lord preserved him through it and everything. But he said he was reminded of William Carey. When William Carey, when a guy was supporting William Carey when he was going over to start the church, where he went and started his church overseas, and then the guy, boom, the guy takes off on him. And he said he was praying one day, and the Lord said to him, well, if William Carey went through it, what makes you think you're not going to go through it? Why are you any better than him? Right? And then I got to thinking about that my own self, and the scriptures foretold that all these things were going to happen. Yeah, but I only saw the fun stuff. I didn't see any of that bad stuff where people were actually mean. I mean, I don't know how I missed that. I'll tell you how, because you have so much zeal and you're so excited to see people saved and preach the Bible and do what God's called you to do that you don't see those things. It's kind of like when you're, you know, when you first get married and you're in the honeymoon phase, right? And all that, you just don't see anything until later when you have time to slow down and think about it, then you start seeing some things. That's another conversation we'll have in a few years, okay? Right now, just enjoy it. Anyway, never mind, Garrick. You'll get it later. But anyway, you have that time, right? And all that, and you don't see any of that stuff. And then later you start to see it, right? It's like, whoa. And all that stuff happens, and you're like, but that's what happens. Many temptations will befall you. Paul suffered much. Right? In fact, his suffering may be of a heavy magnitude. It showed forth the grace of God the more in his life to benefit others. That's why God lays sometimes things thick on pastors. That's why he allows it. That's why men like Spurgeon, who had enormous amounts of affliction and things happened to him and things that he had went through, because God had work for him to do. Right? And when God's going to use somebody, I preached it a long time ago. And I don't know if it was prophecy. Maybe I shouldn't have preached. No, I'm just kidding. But whom he bruises, he uses. I preached that many, many years ago. I mean, probably 15 years ago when I first started. And it's true. Whom he uses, he bruises. He does. God does. If he's going to use a man, he's going to bruise him. Because he has to have it. Right? We talked about that. Brother Jacob, we were talking about, what was that, the blue of the wound? What was that? Yeah, you don't remember it? What's the matter with you? I'm not calling you anymore. All right. I mean, get out of here. What are you doing? Hey, you're no help. Get out of here. I'm just kidding. 2 Corinthians 11. Paul talks about his persecution. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul is trying to prepare these men. He's trying to explain to them that all the things that befell him through suffering in the ministry was for God's glory. Like it's going somewhere. It's for a purpose. Right now, what some of you are going through, you see it as a dead end. You really do. You say, I'm never going to get out of this. It's going to last forever. I'm always going to feel like this. I'm always going to be discouraged. I'm always going to have this time of darkness. I'm always going to have to fight through this. I'm always going to do that. It's not. See, when God does something, when God tries His people, He tries them because there's a purpose in it. He has a reason for it. He does it. It's not just because He sits up in heaven and says, watch me bounce them around like pinballs. Pew, 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 pew. That's not what God's doing to you. God's not Satan. He doesn't afflict people like that right. In order, like for pleasure. Right. Like he doesn't get a kick. He's not devils. He doesn't get a kick out of it. Like, man, right. I'm a joy in them suffering. That's not who God is. Get that out of your mind, because that's not who the God of the Bible is. Right. God is a loving Father that whoops you little spoiled brats when you need it. Amen. You don't like that, do you? I don't care. I know, because I'm one of them spoiled brats that needs it sometimes. Amen. I know what it's like. I know what it's like. I speak by experience. I understand. I speak by the Word of God and by experience that God is a Father that knows how to give correction. And you are rebellious and stiff-necked at times, and you don't think you deserve correction. You think you ought to feel good every day. You ought to have smiles on your face every day. Everything ought to be sunshine, puppy dogs, and rainbows. And you should never... No offense to the rainbow back there on your shirt. Right? You ought to have puppy dogs and rainbows and everything. And that's just how you should... Why? Because you're a Christian. You should never feel bad. You should never go through anything like that. Everything... The sun should be shining all the time. And you should be in la-la land with lollipops and puppies and bunnies. And that's how life's supposed to be. Well, I'm sorry, princess. That ain't how it is. Or prince, whichever you are. That's not how it is. God puts us through things. God tests us, our faith. And He allows us to go through suffering and temptations. Those temptations are the same words as trials. And Paul spoke of them. See, Paul suffered much in this life. In the life of Paul, what we see is that God does not make the way of His servants smooth sailing. Like, He doesn't. I mean, you know, in my mind, here's what I'm thinking. Like, well, you're going to get the ministry. Everybody's going to love it. There's going to be tons of people. It's going to be great. They're all going to love me. No, I didn't think that. I wasn't that vain. Just a jet. No, I'm just kidding. Just a limo and everything. No, I didn't think that. But, well, I told my wife, she laughed at me. I told her, I thought I'd have like 500 people. And she started laughing. She not the way you preach. That ain't happening. But, reality hit then. Whoa, not everybody likes me. Man, these people are kind of mad. And I really found out that I had an uncanny knack when I preached of making women mad at me. And that has never stopped. That's the anointing. That's the real anointing. It's like, I realize that's like, if you make women mad, man, you got some problems. Or they do. Dad goes, you better believe it. I've been watching them for years, boy. Paul says this about his ministry. He says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In deaths oft. Who thinks this sounds like Joel Osteen's best life now?
No.
Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Man, Paul counted. I mean, who can forget? Whack. Whack. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. This was no cakewalk. He was often in dangers, right? In verse 26, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness. Man, he didn't get a break anywhere. He couldn't even go to the wilderness. Some guys went to the wilderness and nobody's around. No, they found him in the wilderness. No, we're going to beat you up. Right? In perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Check. In weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. At times he says he was pressed out of measure. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You ever felt that way? Right? How come you look at this and you can read this, but you don't ever relate it to you? When you're going through something, you're like, well, that's not me. That was Paul. I mean, nobody's beating me. What, do you want me to beat you? I mean, you're still going through something, right? It's still trials. It's still temptations that befell him. And what does he say here? In 2 Corinthians, let's see, what was it? Chapter 1, verse 8, yes. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia. That we were pressed out of measure, above strength, in so much that we despaired even of life. You ever been that way? Despaired even of life. Think about that. You mean life was like, you despaired even unto life? I mean, even your life? I mean, you felt like you wanted to die? Oh, but see, Pastor, I felt that way, but you don't understand. That's not like what Paul felt. Well, why isn't it? He just said it. No, that's for him. I mean, he was super spiritual. That was him. No, that was set forth as an example for you. That was set forth as an example for you. That's why God put him through that. Now, don't deny what God put him through for your sake.
Amen.
Amen. He despaired even of life. You ever been there? Man, my life is hard. Feeling terrible. Feeling bad. Feeling surrounded. Feeling discouraged. Feeling depressed. Despaired even unto life. Some of you young people, you have some crazy thoughts sometimes, or some thoughts that go through your head that make you feel crazy or make you think you're crazy. Well, I can guarantee you, let me help you with one thing. If you ever think, man, that was some really bad, crazy thoughts that went through my head, just remember I told you this. You ain't had nothing as crazy as I am, okay? And I'm still here and God still kept me. So you just ask God to forgive you and to wipe those things away, and you just keep pressing on for the Lord, because you'll get better. It'll go away. God will see to it. You keep looking for Jesus. You keep looking at the Lord and you'll be fine. I get it. I know. You know, thoughts of death, thoughts of life, thoughts of suffering and pain and despair and discouragement and depressions. You're not the only one, friend. I can show, by the way, if you ever feel this way, let me tell you this. I can show you in the Bible where many of God's men wanted to die. I can show you all that. See, I felt that way before. I know. You ain't going through nothing that such as isn't common to man. Right? But such is common to man. I understand. Now, you can't dwell on that. But the fact that it's present there, don't let that shake you up too bad. I'm trying to comfort you here today, because I know what that's like. I don't know. God has just been impressing upon me that our young people, they're in a spiritual war of their life. And I know that. And that's why God put me through it. So I could tell them, hey, you know all those scary thoughts? You know all that other stuff? They go, I get it. I'm not saying that just to say it. I'm saying that because I went through it. And I still pastored you through it. And I still preached through it. And I still prayed through it. Amen. And I still trusted God through it. And He saw me through it. So I understand. I do, really. Honestly. And more importantly, Jesus does. He understands. Right? And so much that we despaired even of life. Paul talked about how he endured fears within. That's what a pastor goes through. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 5. Paul comes to Macedonia. For when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Man, I mean surrounded, boxed in. Without were fightings. Man, I know what that's like. Man, I'm telling you what, 5 years ago, I had so many enemies coming at me. I was just like, you know, when I was a kid, I played this game called Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. All right? And you played Mike Tyson's Punch-Out? Remember when the guy twiddled his mustache? That was funny. Anyway, and then that's when you knew to punch him in the face. Boo! But you're like this little guy and you're like punching. Mike Tyson's head is like this big. And you're like this big on the screen and Mike Tyson's head's this big. I mean, Mike was big, man. He was big and you're like Prudence's size. And you're like looking up at him like this trying to hit him. Boo. Anyway, but when you get dazed like that, when you get punched like that and you get dazed, well, I had so many enemies coming at me for a time that I couldn't talk to anybody. Everywhere I turned, there was an enemy coming after me. Everywhere I turned, there was a Jason Cooley video or something about me or something bad and all this other, some bad accusation against me and all this other stuff and all that good stuff. And it was like, I know what he's talking about. Troubles on every side. Without were fightings. But you know what? I know what he's talking about with this too. Because without were fightings. But you know what? You can handle a lot of fightings when you're solid internally, right? When things are going decent internally, when your mind is strong and things are going well, that you can handle a lot of outside enemies coming at you. But when your own mind turns against you, that's a problem. That was bad. I told you before, there were like 1,000 voices going through my head and none of them were good. They were all bad. And they would not stop. I mean, can you imagine? Some of you can. Can you imagine? Get out of here. Can you imagine? I'm not talking to myself. It was my watch. They're going to be like, you're thinking, is he talking to voices? Get out of here. Beat it. Uh-oh. It's back. No, but I'm going to take this off. This is annoying me. Go away. I'm being stalked by Siri tonight. But you can't imagine late at night, and you're up, and it's like 2 or 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, you're like, and your mind's going, oh, yeah? And there's just like a million thoughts that will not stop. Anybody been there? Anybody been there? Anybody at all? You can admit it's okay. I mean, if you don't want to, it's okay. You don't have to. I know you're all weird like me. It's okay. I know. See, that's why God afflicted me, because you're also weird. So that's
amen.
That's why I said, man, Lord, there's a lot of messed up people. I know I'm going to mess you up. And you're going to be able to help all these messed up people. I didn't know when I prayed for a bunch of misfits that it was going to be... God's going to be like, yeah, you're going to be like the king of them. I'm going to mess you up bad. You're going to be one of the misfits too. Oh, man. Okay, Lord. I didn't know it was going to be that bad. But sitting up like that, I understand that, the fears that are within. Not just outward enemies, but fears within. That's tough, isn't it? Because you not only have all that stuff going on, but you doubt yourself. Like, you don't even believe, you don't, if somebody says something bad about you, in your mind, you don't understand. Like, you're like, oh, they're talking bad about you. I don't tell them that. But I'm thinking in my mind, well, I agree with you. I think I'm that devil too. I think I'm that bad too. Like, I think I'm worse than what you're saying. You understand that? You don't have to be hard to, it's not hard for you to, for somebody when they accuse you of that, you're just like, man, is that me? You're already accusing yourself. Nobody has to do that for you. You're already doing it. That's what Paul's talking about. I mean, his fears of everything. You know, fears of, is all my labor in vain? Is God not going to be with me? Is this going to be the end? Is this how I'm going to end up? Is this how it's all going to end like this? Right? Paul had those fears that his labor was in vain. Mothers and fathers have that fear, don't you, as you raise your children and you look and if they're going squirrely or they're not doing right or something's wrong, the first you start to fear in your life, Lord, are they going to, I mean, is it all going to be in vain? I raised them all to this, and this is what's going to happen? Right? Those are legitimate fears. They're not real. In that sense, they don't have to be. God can take care of you through all that. But he had to endure those fears within. Fears that grip the heart. Fears of inadequacy to do the work of the Lord. I'm going to talk about people saying all kinds of bad things about you. It ain't half as bad as what my brains were saying about me. Everything they accused me of wasn't half as bad as what my mind was doing. My mind was accusing me of 10,000, and not one of them was real. But boy, in my mind, it sure was. You ever been there? Pretty soon, I could definitely link myself to the assassination of Abraham Lincoln and JFK. I must have been a part of it. That's how your brain, it just, there's no logic to it. There's no reason with it. It can get that bad. Fears in dealing with desertion and not getting a hold of God. Fears of your family falling apart, or fears of failing God. Paul was hounded by false teachers who constantly mocked him. Right? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I got to hurry up. We got to get out of here. This is very practical. I hope it's helping you. I hope you understand it.
Amen.
Some of you might be thinking, what is he talking about? I've never been through anything like that in my life. Good. They mocked him. They said, for his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Are you talking about my speech? What did I say, gooder? Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Everybody can say it. By the way, one thing I realize in the ministry is everybody can say it better than you do. They never say it, though. You're the only one saying it. They won't say nothing. I tell them, go get your own channel and say it. But that's right. Nobody's listening to you. Right? That's how it works. He was afflicted with some sort of physical ailment, Paul was. You know, he had a thorn in his flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him. We don't know what it is exactly. It could have been his eyes, Galatians 4. But afflictions followed him and will every Christian in some form. But pastors and those in ministry, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, is trying to warn them. that similar things will befall them. He's warning us, and I'm warning you, if any of you are called into the ministry, if God calls any of you to ministry, you just wonder, afflictions are coming. Trials will come. Like, I'm not a charismatic here today giving you some, like, puffy, cushy prophecy of goodness coming your way and all this other stuff. Well, goodness is going to come your way when you get to heaven. But a whole lot of badness is coming your way, too, if you're going to serve God. But God will make it joyful. Right? God will make it joyful. Today, when I weep, most of the time I weep tears of joy. When I'm singing in my truck, when I'm driving down the road, maybe the heated seats help, Dave, but I'm driving down the road and I'm singing, and I think about the mercy and the grace of God, and I start crying. But I'll tell you what, four or five years ago, when I was in deep depression, man, I was weeping all the time. I was crying all the time. I was down all the time. I was depressed all the time. But God turned that, and He'll turn yours. He will, if you trust Him, He will. Right? But don't be surprised, Christian, when these things come your way. Paul was warning us, this is the Christian life. Now, to a degree, you don't have to suffer a lot of the reproach that a pastor would suffer in some cases. You're not going to, for the most part. But that's because it's not necessary for the work that God has called you to do. You are going to suffer reproach. You're going to suffer persecution, right? But don't be disheartened by it. And don't quit. And don't give up on God. And don't walk away. And don't turn your back. But continue to press on. Now, we're going to close with this, I think. Man, that's long. This is a long closing. Are you ready? You didn't have to work tomorrow anyway. All right. God had reasons for Paul's suffering. I'm going to give them to you here. You know, our lives are not by some cosmic chance.
Amen.
But God has real purpose and reason for all that He has come our way. You may think sometimes in your life, and some of you, why do I have to go through this? Well, I'm going to tell you from experience. Well, I'll get to that in a second. I look back at things that have befell me in the ministry, and I couldn't understand things. And it would be easy for me to think that God was finished with me, or He was discarding me, or at times fears within would make me think that I wasn't even one of His. Not by any real evidence, mind you. Not by anything that concretely showed me that, like the day that I got saved when Jesus showed me I was lost. Amen? Nothing like that. All mind things. Amen? All mind things. Troubles in the flesh. But the purpose that God allows that to happen, number one, is for you to be able to help others. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And if you can't see that, you think, no, I can't see that. Maybe it's because you don't want to help anybody else. Maybe you're too stuck on yourself and you don't want to help anybody. I'm going to say that again for you. Let me put that on repeat. Let me rewind that for you. Sorry, Pete. Let me rewind that for you, okay? Let me say that again. Maybe you can't see that because you don't want to help anybody yet. So God's got to churn you in the crucible a little bit longer. You've got to burn in the fire a little bit longer because you don't really want to help anybody. You just want to feel better. You know what God says? You know, you're going to serve Me and you're going to serve others no matter how you feel. And you're going to learn to do that. No matter if you feel good about it or not. You're going to think about other people. You're not going to think about yourself. And until you do, you ain't going to have a lot of peace. For the purpose of being able to help others, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. So Paul learned, he said, well, whether I'm comforted, it's for your benefit. Whether I'm in suffering, it's for your benefit. Because that's what God called him to. Right? Right now, the present trials and afflictions are to help others. They are so we can be a blessing to others, so we can comfort others. For the purpose of walking by faith, number two, rather than by sight. See, some of you have been in your Christian life able to walk by sight a lot. I mean, what do I mean by that? Well, you Maybe you had a bank account full of money. Maybe you made good financial decisions. Maybe you have good health. Maybe you have all those things, and you never really had to trust God with any of that because you just had it all. And then one day God said, nope, you don't have something now. And now you have to walk by faith. Now you actually have to trust God for it. You can't trust in your own flesh. You can't trust in your own steadfastness. You can't trust in all that, right? But you've got to walk by faith and you've got to believe God. For we walk by faith, not by sight. How else can we learn to walk by faith if we never have to? I mean, if everything's all easy for you and everything's all laid out for you and everything's all accomplished, you're accomplishing it all yourself, when do you ever learn to walk by faith when you can see everything? You don't. You don't. Right? You know what God did in this church? He said, no, you're not going to be a 501c3. Well, I didn't know why. Really, I mean, I understood that issue, but I didn't know why in the future, why that would be a big deal. And I didn't understand all that, right? It makes sense to me. But then he showed me, when we started, it was like, oh, you got zero in the bank account. You mean like zero? Yeah, I mean like zero. Well, you're going to walk by faith. You're going to walk by faith, not by sight. Right? So what did I do with zero in the bank account? Well, naturally, I quit my job. That's what I did. Naturally, I had a job up there. I said, well, it's over. I'm going to pastor full time now, so I'm gone. What are you doing? I'm stepping out by faith. I'm believing God. Well, I mean, now, my financial advisor would tell me, you can't quit your job. I don't have one of those. But if I did, it's God. But if I did have an earthly one, they'd be like, well, you can't quit your job. You don't have any money in the bank. You don't have nothing. You can't do that. I know God can, though. And either I'm going to walk by faith or I'm not. Either I'm going to trust the Lord or I'm not. Either you really believe that your church is under Christ and you really believe that you're not organizing under 501c3. And that's what I told the church. I said, you remember that, Lee? I told them, I said, well, if I don't sell my car, I'm going to sell my second car that I have. I sold it. I'm going to sell it because I'm not driving up to Bloomington anymore. So I'm going to sell my other car. And I'm going to walk by faith. And I'm gonna, why? Well, because if we're gonna organize this church outside of 501c3 and we don't want the government's help and we're not gonna be a creature of the state and we're not gonna do all that, well then I'm gonna step out by faith and I'm gonna believe God and I'm gonna go full time. I'm gonna focus everything on the Lord's work. Well, what did he do? He took care of everything. Just like he always does. I mean, just like, when I say that, I mean that just like he always does. Like every step of the way, just like he always does. He always has. But the only way that you learn to do that is when you have to. Some of you have had severe trials that the Lord's brought you through, and you thought at times, maybe I don't have those kind of trials like so-and-so has. But maybe it's really dark for you right now and you can't see the road ahead. Well, how else are you going to learn to walk by faith? If you could see it all and it was all in your reach, what do you need God for? Right? Well, man, this don't make any sense. I mean, financially, this is this way and this is going on and that's going on. And what am I going to do? You're going to walk by faith. You're going to trust the Lord. And God's going to take care of you. You believe that, don't you? Well, now you're going to prove it. You just ain't going to say it. Now you're going to prove it. Right? You're going to walk by faith. And that's why God puts His people through severe trials. That's why He puts His preachers through severe trials. He doesn't show them everything and show them how He's going to do everything. Like, I don't know how God's going to provide different things. Dave comes up to me and says, man, it's going to probably cost like 15 grand to do that building out there. Or whatever. That number keeps going down, by the way, because God keeps giving us stuff.
Right.
Every time God just keeps giving us stuff. I say, well, the Lord will provide it. It'll come.
Yep.
All of it. You mean you really believe like all of it's going to come? Yeah, I really do. I believe all of it's going to come. Like all of it? All of it? Yeah, all of it and then some. And then some. It always does. I didn't buy any of this stuff. God did. I didn't buy any of that. I didn't do that. I didn't do any of that. God did it. Right? That's how the Lord works. When you walk by faith. You can't see the road ahead. Some of you can't. You're in a valley of darkness right now. Man, I gotta quit. I enjoy this too much. I don't want to quit. It's hard for me to quit. You know that, don't you? It's hard for me to quit. I know you gotta go home though. Your kids are getting tired and everything. That's okay. See, they're talking in tongues, everything. I mean, I gotta get them out of here. They're getting delirious. You can't see the road ahead. But God wants you to trust Him. He wants you to stop looking at you and start looking at Him. See, sometimes you get into a mode of complete doubt and fear in your mind. You know why? Well, because you keep looking at you. You're trying to figure out your way out of the valley of darkness. You're like, okay, so Lord, please help me with this. And then after that, you worry about it for the next 4 or 5 days. Then you go back to saying, Lord, please help me with this. Then you go back to worrying the next 4 or 5 days.
Come on, preacher.
And you really aren't you're not looking at the Lord. You're just worried about it.
Right.
You're thinking, how am I going to get through this? 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 You keep saying that, right? And you keep getting in more despair, and more darkness comes, and more discouragement comes, and more heartache comes, and more grief comes, and more turmoil, and more fear. Why? Well, because you keep looking for you for the answer. Well, but that's not why God puts you in the trial so you'd look at you. He puts you in the trial so you'd look at Him. See, you just don't believe God puts you there. Isn't that the truth? You don't believe God put you there. Oh no, preacher, it was my mistakes that did it. It was this that did it. It was that that did it. It's the devil that did it. Right? It's this circumstance that did it. No, it isn't. It's God Almighty in heaven. He puts you right where you are. Right where you're at, He puts you. So who's going to take you through it? Not you. You didn't put you there. God did. And you look at your situation, you're thinking, man, I can figure out a way out of this. Man, I'm gonna work something out here. I'm gonna start my own fire here. I'm gonna get something done here. I'm gonna make this happen. I'm gonna get out of this. I'm gonna make this all. Man, God showed me week after week, year after year, you can't get out of it. Why? Because I went like this. Valley of darkness. I dropped you in there. And I'm not letting you out. Until I say it's time. Until you learn. Now walk. And serve me. And be faithful to me. See, you learn to walk by faith. It's the eyes of faith. You know, I preached that sermon many years ago. The eyes of faith will see through the darkness.
Right.
And I never knew I was going to live it.
That was good.
Yeah, I know it was. It's a lot easier to preach it than it was to live it. I can tell you that. Right? Dark world rising. It was called Only the Eyes of Faith Can See. But you know what? God preserved many of His men by afflicting them. And you can thank God for that. I'm done. I'll stop. I could say more. I got more here, but I got to stop. But listen. Understand this. God puts you through things. Paul is explaining to these men that God put him through these things for a reason. And whatever your present trial is not an accident. You think you're going to always go back. When you find yourself going back to your sin or you constantly, and your flaws and your mistakes, and you have not learned the lesson yet. And you're going to keep burning until you do. Why? Because you keep looking at you. You don't think God's able to override your mistakes? You don't think God's able to fix your problems? You don't think God's able to override anything that has happened to you? No, you don't. You think, well, no, it was me. 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 I made this mistake. This deal didn't work because I did this. This didn't. No, it didn't work because God didn't want it to work. That's why. It didn't work because God didn't want it to. That's the way it is. God puts us through those trials to try our faith. And that's exactly what He's doing to you right now. He's trying your faith. That's what He's doing. In whatever you are going through, in whatever your challenges are, and you see it dim and dark, you need to keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. When you learn the lesson, it's when you trust God, you say, Lord, I don't know what you want, but I'm just going to keep being faithful to you, and I'm going to keep serving you. Yeah, and in your mind, you're going to have 1,000 reasons why you can't do that. No, I can't. I must be wrong with God. I must have to do this. This must be this, and this must. No, you, again, still, you're looking at you too much, because it's all Christ is always the answer. Christ is always the answer, right? That girl is here right now because God overrode everyone.
Amen.
Do you understand that? She got saved by the grace of God, got baptized, got brought here. She is here because God overrode everything. Do you understand that? God. So do you think that God, if He can override that, He can't? Your problem is you don't want to accept that God put you there because you need to be where you're at. And you're going through what you're going through because you need it. And you don't want to accept that. You haven't come to that place of acceptance yet, like Paul did. God appointed me to this, and this is what I got to go through, and this is the lessons that He's trying to teach me. And you don't want to accept that. And if you don't accept that, it's miserable, because then you believe that it's all out of God's control. It's all you, and you keep worrying about you. Well, all my failures and all. Well, who cares about all your failures? God didn't save you because you weren't a failure. He saved you because you are one. Right? I mean, He saved you because you needed it, not because there was something good about you. There wasn't any redeeming qualities in you and I. That's why mercy reached down and saved us. I mean, because we needed it. I mean, yeah, but I can go back and think about everything I've ever done wrong and every mistake I've ever made and everything else, and those are all reasons why I'm going through what I'm going. No, you're going through what you're going through because God wants you to be there. Now learn the lessons God has for you. Learn to walk in humility like Paul said. Learn to walk with tears like Paul talked about. Learn to trust God through suffering, and learn to use what you've been through to help others. Because that's what it's for. That's what Paul was used for. Paul said he was in prison set forth as an example for others, that they would be willing to suffer for the faith, that he would not turn his back on Christ, that he would not walk away. Now the world is watching. Others are watching whether you will be faithful to God when the sun is not shining and things are not going your way and you don't get what you want. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your words. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ, which saved my soul all those years ago, called me into the ministry, changed my life, made me new, and taught me to preach your word, Lord. Father, help these, your children, that are going through trials of suffering and temptations and different things right now, Lord. Young people that have things going through their hearts and their minds and the battle to surrender to you and all those things, Lord, that they go through. Please help them. Those that are lost here, that have never been saved, never come to Christ, never been born again by the Spirit of God, never called on Christ to save their soul. May they do so even tonight. Give them no rest night and day until they come to you, Lord, and that grace overcomes all, and they're born again by the Spirit of God and have life everlasting. And for your children, Lord, strengthen them. Help them, Lord, to walk with you. Help them to look for you in all their trials, to look for you in the dark night. You'll be there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.